Blog Talk Radio.
It's always a pleasure. This is the 144th day of the year, as you already know. And you found a Masonic Home Companion, the place where Masons can sit back in their own comfortable environment with a cup of whatever makes them happy, sipping a tea, pinky out, and listen to some of the ideas that may be too provocative to share or discuss in Open Lodge, but are on the minds of Masons right across this jurisdiction. We have, this is a remarkable a day. We're on the verge, or we're only 28 days away from the solstice. That ceremony that had such an appeal to ancient cultures. And as we know, in the reworking and rewording of older faiths and religions is still contained within the contemporary view of the world, of world faiths. I want to talk, throw out a little bit about Francis Bacon. We're going to emphasize his work over the process of the show, the program today. And I want to talk to you about the social, today's show, of course, is around on the theme of phenomenology. And I want to talk to you a little bit about what that is. But to start this off, I'm going to give you a little bit of a departure. I'm going to give you put out a song here. And just to make sure that we have an influence going into this show today. You'll recognize this is from the 30s, and this is Al Jolson singing.
They used to tell me I was building a dream, and so I followed the mob. When there was earth to plow or guns to bear, I was always there. They used to tell me I was living a dream with peace and glory ahead. Why should I be standing in line just waiting for bread? Once I built a railroad, made it run, made it rest against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done. Roll the fingers, spare a dime. Once I built a tower to the sun, brick, mortar, and lime. Once I built a tower, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? One thing can he do? He looks swell, for I have Yankee doodly dumb. Half a million boots went marching through hell, and I was a kid with a drum. Hey, don't you remember? They called me Al. It was Al. Al all the time. Say, don't you remember? I'm your pal. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once I built a railroad, made it run, and I made it race against time. Once I built a railroad. Now it's done. Hey, brother, you ain't got a dime about you, have you? And once built a tower. Yes, a tower to the sun. A brick, mortar, and lime. Yes, I'm the fella built the tower. And now it's done. Hey, buddy, ain't got a dime about you, have you? Once in khaki suit, he will look swell. Follow that Yankee doodle dee da. Half a million boots went marching through hell. And I was a kid with a drum. Say, don't you remember? Don't you remember? They called me Al. It was Al. All the time. Don't you remember? I'm your pal. Brother, can you spare?
We had the reminder of what life was like coming out of the Second World War when consciousness grew across North America. It wasn't just happening here, but this is an example of forces and influences that affected Masonry. I think this is a part of what made life in Masonry, the experience and expression of Masonry, different here in North America than anywhere else in the world. But remember, it was in the 20s when photographers and surveyors began to realize the dire poverty that people, whole families, were living in the United States, and it was happening here in Canada as well, perhaps not as clearly documented for a lot of different reasons. This is not too different than what seems to be going on today. The exploitation of people in order to keep profits high raised a question about our civic and moral responsibility to our fellow man. And begrudgingly, the legislation was put in place to offer protections, always with an aspersion to the people that are living in dire poverty, that they themselves are at fault for the problem. Except Masonry seems unable to accept that kind of glib hypocrisy. There, but for the grace of God, go you and I. Remember, the Great Depression wasn't selective. People living in dire poverty starved. The children died of dehydration. This was a plague that affected men and women, families. But more so in the day, the men were the breadwinners. And the tide turn comes out of this period. Men that had always worked experienced the economic collapse of the capitalist experiment. Not too different than what happened in 2008. So we could easily, for the likes of us that are purposefully examining our own history to understand where we came from, excuse the grammar, but to in order to be able to have a better appreciation of where we're going. So the question is about, it raises questions. If you're coming to Freemasonry looking for answers, of course you are, I hope. Those answers may have to do with fraternity, about the well-being and need for friendship. That is important. It's not the sole purpose. This isn't like this is what we make of it, and there's different versions. So if you're seeing a version that doesn't appeal to you, you're seeing one aspect, perspective on the surface of a diamond, one facet that you, what you're seeing, your experience is not Freemasonry. It is the way you see life. That's quite reasonable. Through your eyes, if that's all you know, remember, if that's your sole experience, then that's the world. But phenomenology goes a little bit beyond that. And here's the cool part about this. It's the study of structures of consciousness. So you and I have a point of view, and I see the world and I say, this is a rebuilding year for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I know that's not true. Montreal Canadiens will go out, fix their problem, and they'll win the cup next year. Toronto dithers. It's making a profit. It's all about the profit, isn't it? Yeah, follow the money. So we don't see sportsmen running this. We see businessmen and accountants, bankers running this kind of. And they're with what the knock is that they're using the appeal of that they have nothing to do with. They've tapped into this need of all of us for a winning team to represent us in our one of our primary sports here in winter here in Canada. So it's not going to happen because that what we do all maintains that profit. And so we hear this team, this franchise declared as a world class. Well, it's certainly not. It's disgraceful. It's a mess. It's a train wreck. And this is coming from one of the fans that can look truthfully and speak truthfully. So let's set all that aside and look at what phenomenology is. It's the studies of structures of consciousness experienced from the first person point of view, your point of view. The central structure of an experience is its intentionality. It's being directed towards something as it is an experience of or about some object. So what's the experience? What's the experience of Freemasonry? And then that would, and we'll use the fancier term, the phenomenology. It's that which appears, okay, as a philosophical movement. This was founded in the early years of the 20th century, and it was later expanded upon by a circle of followers from Munich in Germany, which has a connection with sociological theory, with a need to understand the connections of structure and their effects, their purpose. And then it spread into France and to the United States. This is what we want to look at because it's showing us something about thinkers. It's showing us a direction that thinkers, profound and serious-minded people, were moving in. So we look at the phenomenology as either dangerous or perhaps it's paradoxical, but we want to look at this rather than a style of thought. It's a method, and ever renewed experience having different results. So phenomenology. You think about it a little bit. Google it. It'll help you to understand it a little bit. It attempts to create conditions for the objective study of topics, usually regarded as subjective. So consciousness and the content of conscious experiences, like judgments, perceptions, and emotions, the things that help us give our world meaning. Yeah. So I start off like you with questions because I want answers. Okay. Does any organization bear its soul for the world to judge? It does if it's Freemasonry. Piety doesn't wear well anymore. As we watch politicians jump ship, we are safe knowing that the idealists have already jumped ahead of them, upset by the manipulation of power to gain rank. The idealists have lost faith. If you give men the resources to be free thinkers and present them with opportunity, that is what you create, free thinkers. If they see that something is that what's intended is not what is presented. What is intended is not the experience. You quickly, these folks, year by year, begin to question whether their sense of reality is valid. keep in mind, we're doing this from the perspective of Freemasonry. When did we not create the external culture as Masonic culture? We have filtered the world around us in terms of our Masonic culture, the Masonic principles and ethics. When did we stop being what we were? When? And you will say, have we? When did we stop being what we were? What we were was a group using insight and reason to morph into our inner potential. This is about releasing the potential that you and I have, of finding that rational purpose in life, of finding the point of contentment within ourselves, within our environment, not to blunt our ambitions and our goals, but to give us an improved quality of the experience of life as we go through it. Free thinkers. Before the villagers rally and hunt us down here at Masonic Home Companion, we really must talk. People will guess we're beginning to see the light if we don't keep this quiet. We're beginning to understand, so shh. Each discovery, discussion, and insight prepares the canvas on which we portray our lives. Today, when we build the cathedral, we may have pencil, protractor, and ruler nearby, but we work not in two dimension, but three, with computer-assisted drafting software, which brings me to an interesting observation. The World Wide Web isn't a new tool that has brought the greatest libraries, isn't it? It's not new, but it's brought the greatest libraries of the world into our personal space. When we didn't have such access, we went about our business perhaps less informed than if we lived a stone's throw from the Tate Modern or the Louvre or the Hermitage, like we do today. In a few keystrokes, I can go and tour the halls of the Louvre and sit and examine a piece of work. It is a testament to the craft to find so much material available for students and researchers. As we say, the genie is out of the bottle. The zeitgeist is about the fluid exchange of ideas. That's what's happening around us. This parochial notion of secrecy, that's pretty much gone, don't you think? I mean, really, when was there a period of time when the great secrets were kept? If they were kept, how do we know about them? There's always been leaking. There's always been intrigue and politics and realignments. Always. And if there hasn't been, you and I will never know about it, huh? What's the secrets that we maintain, the ones we have with ourselves? It's a testament to us to find so much material available. Open and free. This exposes little of the practice of Freemasonry, by the way. As much as we may see it portrayed and described on the net, in all its various points of view, from the Masonic watch that are there to keep a sense of menace alive. Well, yeah, they're right. Anything that's secret and malevolent can be very dangerous. We struggle to keep secrets. We are trying to be private. But malevolent? Come on. We are, if you're thinking like representation of human form is blasphemy. Then we're malevolent because we like to take pictures of our groups and our outings. But is our intent suppression? Our intent is to bring forward those moments in history that we can capture on a photograph. Fortunate we have artists that capture concepts and put them on canvas for us. The point is that we hope that by doing this, time will be kind to us, that we'll be able to observe something by studying those moments. and beginning to understand more about our order and about ourselves. Open and free, it's out there on the internet. And I find it very interesting that people will be trying to fight the flow. It's like, really, get over it. There is nothing about the practice of Masonry that you and I experience that it can be conveyed on the pages or in the lines of type on the internet or in any book or pamphlet. It affects us in our minds, each of us in his own unique way. We share the experience as best we can, but it's not complete. To think that nobody else understands the world the way that we see it is... oh, that's just a little too conceited for a Mason. There is a lot about the experience, the emotional intensity of opening our eyes, that we can only stumble around trying to describe. But when we know it, man to man to man, it's different, isn't it? What's secret? The secret is the experience. Private, yes. Now, can people drag that out of us? As much as we might want to reveal it, there's been wagging tongues and the, you know, think about the start of the Morgan, the allegations about the Morgan affair that are still floating around, the controversy, the Blackfriars Bridge. Think about this. None of it is definitive because as we examine it, we immediately know there are a number of perspectives, there are a number of plot lines, if you will, themes going through these big dramatic events. And of course, we're going to examine it for the criminality, the potential for criminality. It's what we do. Life is too damn boring, so we have to find the drama. And are we as guilty as any of any group for being dramatic? Yeah, it's embarrassing, but we do it as well. Just we try to use our manners when we're around each other. Even though some of the boys want to flex their considerable muscle and act like the aggression has its place, yeah, it doesn't have its place in this kind of intellectual grouping. It doesn't. But what is transformative about Masonry is the sense of friendship. Now, are all your friends the same to you? I doubt it. I think you have some closer, some more meaningful, some with unique experiences, some that are more acquaintance than friends, some who want to be a friend, some that you want to pursue until you reach the point where you no longer have to pursue friendship, that you recognize it for what it is as a genuine, authentic experience, not something contrived. So if you've noticed that there's a forced effort, the laughter that's a little too loud, a little too often, the exaggeration of descriptions of work. Everything is not excellent. As a matter of fact, some of it's pretty routine. But do we want to say that we're going out to an evening of a ritual at work that's all about being routine? That seems to me to take something away from the experience. It may be routine for us, but not for the young fellow or the person going through it. What might be a little more accurate is to say it's an enriched and unique experience that night, similar to any other night, but always different. Time has gone on. We have different players at different points in their life, and we have new candidates. I find it a bit tedious, like some of you, that we can't seem to articulate the breadth of the Masonic experience. It's, and we generally in large groups, let everything flow to the following the laws of entropy, flows to the lowest common denominator. Except our low common denominator ain't bad. It's just not what it could be. What it could be is in your mind. Now, we find out that you are the cathedral that we've been talking about. You are the builders of this temple. It's you. It's you. And you do it to achieve this. We know that we use the vehicle of fraternity. And even as we've talked about a few shows ago on the notion of happiness isn't a giggle. It's not a slap in the back with a hot dog and a beer, but only in a sense. It's an intellectual and emotional and phenomenological experience, a connection. It's the connection between men. Sometimes we connect and we won't push each other. We won't expect too much from each other because it may cause division. We may have to carry people. Though it's not that we carry them and say they shouldn't be there. The truth or the phenomena, the experience is they can't do more. Are they willing? We don't know. Do they have the intellect? We don't know. In the meantime, part of our work is to carry that person. We're beyond the point where we should be beasts of burden. We're always carrying somebody else's work, aren't we? We're grown men. And that's not any big deal. We just do it. Hopefully we do it with a bit of spirit and a sense of practicality and kindness and go about our business. Better that we know the capability of one another than pretending that everybody that's not like us is wrong-minded. That is just a fool's paradise. So here we think about the phenomena as you experience Freemasonry. And then try and let that put into perspective all that you've been told about what the order is. It's not that the order abandons us to search this out in our own way. It's the complexity of the lessons. It takes a while to even begin to notice. We can't force that. It's like forcing our history on somebody else and saying, well, why aren't you more like us? Well, if they had the same history as we did, we would all be the same. But different cultures, different times, different priorities. Now, we probably, without being too ethnocentric about this, should allow or acknowledge that other cultures and other peoples have a different path to follow, different history. If they want to achieve or they see the satisfaction, they see the comfort level, a man comfortable within his own skin, able to get on with his life, not feeling provoked, not feeling unnecessary, a man who has purpose and understands his commitments and tries to fulfill them as best he can. As best he can, not good enough. Good enough is a different rule of thumb. I've wondered, I'll leave you with a few of these things. Freemasonry is transformative. Are we transformative of the bigger picture? Or is it a means? Is Freemasonry a means of survival? Surviving the confusion and hypocrisy of life. The disappointments. Not to be able to set aside the illusions that we want people to believe about ourselves and replace it with a frank understanding that who we truly are, warts and all, ain't bad. To make amends for our shortcomings, to try and use the purposeful philosophy of Freemasonry as the benchmarks for our lives. And you know that that's not, we don't live in a state of perfection. Our thoughts are not in a state of perfection. We always struggle for that point of balance. And it is, sometimes it's a positive, sometimes it's a negative. It's that back and forth, the teeter-totter of life. We respect ourselves more when we get that. It's not that we accept it, it's that we get it. So why, the best part of beauty is that no picture is that which no picture can express. The beautiful, beautiful work of the order can't be expressed. So we have pictures that express it, that you have your pictures in your mind that express it, the beauty of life. There is no comparison between that which is lost by not succeeding and that which is lost by not trying. Man, there is a difference between happiness and wisdom. He that thinks himself the happiest man is really so, but he that thinks himself the wisest is generally the greatest fool. Ooh. Silence is the sleep that nourishes wisdom. Imagination was given to man to compensate him for what he is not, a sense of humor to console him for what he is. You know, oh my, ouch, Bacon, that one stuck, came a little too close to home here, buddy, brother. There is a difference between happiness and wisdom. Sure. If a man be gracious and courteous to strangers, it shows he is a citizen of the world. Wise men make more opportunities than they find. I will never be an old man. To me, old age is always 15 years older than I am. Little philosophy inclineth man's mind to atheism. But depth in philosophy bringeth man's mind about to religion. And to all you artists out there, I know you're out there listening. The job of the artist is always to deepen the mystery. Ah. He that gives good advice builds with one hand. He that gives good counsel and example builds with both. But he that gives good admonition and bad example builds with one hand and pulls down with the other. Yeah. Fortitude is the marshal of thought, the armor of the will, and the fort of reason. Makes you think. Francis Bacon. We'll talk more about this man. Influential, I hope. I hope. Truly, I hope. You're going to love the music theme. You picked up on the theme of what the music of the 30s was saying about the Depression. Hmm? How people, after the technicality of the Depression, were still experiencing the impact. It was a time when the world stopped looking down their nose at men who were destitute, stopped blaming them. Remember how some men coped. They bought a bottle of courage with their last 50 cents. Easy for us to judge them, huh? But when there's so many, as we heard in their song, hey, you got a dime to spare? Little bit of an injection of something Masonic, just to give us a little bit of balance here. My goodness, I'm thinking that masonry is just far more than we can imagine at some points. It's far greater. It's a beautiful way of living. So Let's talk to you about, let's leave the 17th century philosopher for a little while. Francis, you'll be okay there by yourself? Yep. And let's now look at how these ideas are represented in the second degree. We find that the second degree tracing board is a detailed drawing of a part of the first. Now, I know that, you know, somebody got a deal on tracing boards in Ontario, and they bought up a whole bunch of them. They're all the same, right? News to masonry, tracing boards vary. Yep, just like the your name, our names vary, our birth dates vary, our cultures vary. But we got a deal on them, so everybody bought the same, basically the same tracing boards. All right, now one day we'll stumble across another tracing board that seems to speak to a lodge, and they'll be if they're students of the craft, and if it's a majority that be eloquent enough to convince everybody that it's okay to make an addition, they'll put up these different variations around them. Until then, we'll see the same set. Don't ever get the idea that that's all there is. No, my goodness, goodness gracious. The first thing that stands out about the second is that it's an illustration of an interior. Do you ever notice that? This is a marked contrast with the previous, which seems to be to suggest with the previous that was an exterior, remember? Think about it. There you go. The drawing is designed in such a way as to suggest the mason who embarks on the second comes from the outdoors and enters the building for that purpose. The ear of corn by the fall of water suggests a situation of natural maturation, fruition, which enables the individual to do that. Now, there I go. I stumbled on some material very old that was given to me by a Masonic geezer that I just loved, and he loved me enough to share parts of his library with me. And in one of these obscure little books that fits in the palm of your hand that's turning to dust every time you turn a page was the reference to what the ear of corn really meant. It was like an ear, he claimed, was a corn, the corn like a corn of pepper. It wasn't an ear of corn, but where we picked up on it being the corn that you and I see, that on around the end of summer is nice and juicy with a little bit of salt and butter all over it, a real valve clogger. It was these ears of wheat. Anyway, I digress. Moreover, it's a way of saying that we come from the outdoors into the building for purpose. The next thing we notice about it, about the board, is the fact that here we have two columns with a ladder between them. That is why this is detailing a drawing of the man we found in the previous drawing. What it suggests is that the individual who moves into the second degree, having earned the general philosophical lessons in the first degree, the lesson is just this experience. There is no lesson. Is about to undertake some interior journey. Oh, do I have a problem with that? Yeah, it robs people of something. It robs our new boys of synergy, a connection with the principles and philosophy of the order, because we don't allow them the good grace to study. And it's not like we're going to allow one, we're going to experiment with one boy while all of the gray hair in the room is tapping their foot, looking at their clock, and grumbling about this being unnecessary. It's like we haven't reached the point where we can collectively put all of that rambling aside and realize that this is something very good. The idea certainly fits with the Renaissance view, which, as we have seen, considered the approach of to the deity to be an interior journey, an ascent of the conscious mind through the soul and spirit. This is the benefit of study. So why do we ignore that need within a man? There's a reason. We're not doing it because we're bad people. We're not doing it because we're silly. There's a reason that that has happened. When we get around with too much testosterone in the room, this is the kind of conversation that strikes the mind. And it is the conversation itself is transformative. And when you bring this up, if you can be eloquent about it, this isn't something that you do with a sledgehammer. If you can show the pathways from the board to the experience, to the outcome, to the purpose, men respond. Freemasons respond because they've been waiting all their lives for this kind of conversation. The Masonic lectures assigned to the two pillars suggest they represent paired opposites. They're said to be the memorial of the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that guided the children of Israel by day and night. And secondly, on their tops, they are the representations of the celestial and terrestrial spheres. My mother lodge had a wonderful, they weren't very expensive, but at the time, they bought these wonderful columns that had all kinds of meaning. Rather than being painted in an old style, they had one color painted slapped all over them, which was, just happenstance. Nobody thought to actually do the work and study what was going on about these pillars. But they were there and they served a purpose, and you could look through the ugliness of the paint and actually see the form. Like Jacob's ladder in the first degree, the staircase forms the central column of this three-pillar model. The Mason, following his interior journey, will climb the symbolic staircase in the course of his life, as he does symbolically during the ritual. The Masonic symbolism sets out a curriculum for him which will facilitate that ascent. This particular drawing shows 15 steps, as do all of the second degree boards drawn by Harris. I am inclined to think that the 15 steps are an innovation. Earlier tracing boards and Masonic diagrams show the staircase with only 7 steps. I don't suggest that these early tracing boards omit any of the material related to the 15, as contemporary Masons we are familiar, but rather the Masonic lectures suggest that there are only 7 steps, with 3 included in the 5 and the 5 included in the 7. As we have seen, he may have been using artistic license to make something look more appealing. Or he couldn't get to that height with 7 steps. You don't want to have a 3-foot rise. Who knows? It works, though. I mean, aesthetically, you look at it, it works. But if you study it, then you think, here's a point. And it also raises a point about 7, draws our attention. Curious, that. Masonic lectures relating to the staircase associate a good deal of information with each of the various steps. Specifically, the 7 liberal arts, here, and sciences, are related to the 7 steps, and the 5 classical orders of architecture are related to the top 5. And then there's the symbolism, the dramatic symbolism of the Ionic and the Doric. Those 5, we have one that doesn't exist in mind, but do a little bit of research about the connection to Masonry, the statement of religion in the Ionic and the Doric capitals. These subjects comprise the formal educational curriculum of the period. Southern liberal arts, and the forms of classical orders of architecture. And there is a large body of literature associated with each. The intent of that curriculum was certainly to give the student an orientation toward the sort of contemplative intellectual work we are studying and discussing. If we consider the staircase to be a representation of levels of consciousness through which the individual must ascend, we can see that the symbol refers the Mason to information about each step or level of consciousness through which he must pass along the way. Hopefully we will pay this debt to our apprentices and allow them discussion and help to teach them the transition and the levels of consciousness before we move them on. Whose need is most important, his or ours? The association assists in the understanding of progress through the positions of the officers of the lodge and in the interpretation of some Masonic legends. The staircase leads to a room called the Middle Chamber, where Masons were said to go to receive their wages, which they found to be fair. In that interior space, interior to you as a Mason, and to him, the individual is able to see a representation of the deity. On the tracing board, this appears to be the sun. But the sun never shines inside a building. The blazing star or glory is a straightforward heraldic representation of the deity. He also has access to a perfect ashlar, a building stone which has been completed and is ready to be placed in the building. And it is also found in the middle chamber for the experienced craftsmen to try and adjust their jewels on. Masons will realize that the fellow craft's tools are tools of testing, that two of them test against absolute criteria which are opposite one another, while the third defines the relationship between the other two. Given an environment in which paired opposites are held in balance by a coordinating agency, you, these tools seem to be a functional model of morality. Oh, man, do I want to talk to you more about this. Excellent. Well, we've come to that point where we have to say goodbye. I want to leave you with a little bit of music that I think will help you to connect. Nature, eh? God Almighty first planted a garden, and indeed it is the purest of human pleasures. That's the world that you and I live in, nature. Let's not let nature be raped and abused, poisoned. Let's do what we can to live in harmony with it. In taking revenge, a man is but even with his enemy, but in passing it over, he is superior. That's a hard one. Yeah. If you've had enemies. Wives are young men's mistresses, companions for middle age, and old men's nurses. Mm-hmm. Some books are to be tasted, others to be swallowed, and some few to be chewed and digested. And about friends, he says, whosoever is delighted in solitude is either a wild beast or a god. A man must make his opportunity as oft as find it. Remember this, anger makes dull men witty, but it keeps them poor. I hope I get to see you again real soon. I'll leave you with some music about friendship, yeah? a nice theme, and we're going to continue that over the next couple of weeks, and maybe as long as we possibly can. After all, fundamental to all of this is that we are friends, and we claim to have that esoteric nature of loving one another, agape. Yeah. Here's a little bit of a reminder. See what you think. See you next week. Thank you we're into the fifth year of Masonic Home Companion, and it's all due to your support. Thank you for tuning in. If you know anybody out there that you think might like to be part of this, let them know. And you have my email address, MasonicHomeCompanion@gmail.com. I'm going to make up a better email address, something that's a little easier to handle than having to type that one out. But commit those acts of random Masonic kindness. And to the parrot heads out there, rock on. See you soon.
upon you. She turned dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind should begin to blow. Keep your head together and call.
Be there, yes I will. You gotta.